this was left off last week. We were discussing the different dimensions of the mitzvah of having children. So we spoke about the primary mitzvah in the Torah, of course, is the Pasuk of Purvu. And we had, in a sense, the secondary mitzvah, the Pasuk of Arev Al Tanach Yedecha. Well, Arev Al Tanach Yedecha is a mitzvah deraisa, whether it's a mitzvah derabanan, whether it's fundamentally different than Purvu in the sense of the nature of the mitzvah, what the purpose of Arev is, also much as many of the things we discussed last week. But there is a third dimension of the mitzvah that may or may not exist. That's what I want to speak about today. Because if it doesn't exist, it'll be a very short shiur. We'll try to make it long enough that we discuss, at least according to some, it exists. That is another pasuk that Chazal also make reference to in discussing the notion of having children. That's the pasuk of Sobra L'Sheves Yitzara, the pasuk in the Navi Yishayo. The Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world not for it to be empty, Tov. If he wanted a world that was Tov, so he would have left things the way it was, Tov Avo. L'Sheves Yitzara, he wanted it to be inhabited, he wanted it to be people in the world. So we already saw this pasuk being quoted, if you go back to the earlier Marmakomos, if you go back to the second Marmakomos, and Yevamos of Samach Beis, the Gemara quoted in Machlekes Amaron, if the person has children, then Rechmalos on the children die, does the person still fulfill the mitzvah peruvu? So one of the opinions of the Gemara was that not. If you take a look at the third line, is that Marmachon, Marmachon number two, Rabbi Yochanan Amalokiy and Peruvu, Rabbi Yochanan Shavis Yitzar Boinim. Rabbi Yochanan said the reason why you don't fulfill peruvu, the children die, is because the pasuk says Shavis Yitzar, the world's supposed to be inhabited, so you didn't accomplish anything. Nebuchadnezzar, the children aren't around, they won't be able to inhabit the world, so then you lost out your mitzvah peruvu. So you see that the Gemara does quote the phrase Lashavis as part of the mitzvah peruvu. The notion of Shavas, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, governs some of the details of the mitzvah peruvu. Are you Yotze in such and such a manner with children who are no longer alive? But the question really we still have to pose is this an independent mitzvah? Is there some kind of a third mitzvah on the table called Shavas, above and beyond the mitzvah peruvu and above and beyond the mitzvah of Atan Kedecha? Some of it is an independent mitzvah of Shavas, of just simply plain and simple inhabiting the world. But we say, no, there is no such mitzvah to inhabit the world. The mitzvah is peruvu, the mitzvah is lara. The pasuk of Shavas will sometimes explain to us, will govern some of the details of the pre-existing mitzvahs, but there is no independent mitzvah of Shavas. Assuming that there is some kind of an independent mitzvah of Shavas, Marech Kibin Medina, it's very nice to talk about it. You know, theoretically, there's a new mitzvah of Shavas. What do you need it for? I have Pravu, I have La'erev. So what could Shavas possibly be teaching me? So we'll have to see. So we have really two questions we have to deal with today. We have to see, is there such a mitzvah at all? And in terms of there is such a mitzvah, Marech Kibin Medina, to the existence of such a mitzvah. So the sikhi begins in the ninth of the Marmakomos on the second page. It says Mishnah, it says Git and Natam Aleph and Aleph. Mishnah says Misha Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chayrin. You have an individual who's a half Eved Kenani and he's half free. How in the world did you have such a person? So you must spend two blottom and says Git and trying to figure it out. Either I owned an Eved Kenani and I freed half of him with Kesem, freed half of him with Shtar, two partners owned an Eved Kenani, one partner for every possible permutation to figure out which ways work, which ways don't work. But the bottom line is, you have such a, there is such a concept, such an individual called the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. If not for such an institution called Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, so the Sefer Milchas Chinuch would be much shorter. Because in the Sefer Milchas Chinuch, at the end of just about every mitzvah, he says, who's chayv in this mitzvah, and how does this mitzvah relate to this person, and what would it then be of a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin? And he speaks 20 pages about each mitzvah. What would that, you would think, you would read Milchas Chinuch, you would think that half the world is Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin floating around. But it's a fascinating, academic concept, academic model that can sometimes highlight some fascinating issues about many, many mitzvahs. So here the Mechasinic wasn't the first one that was in Galicia 150 years ago to dream of Chatzichab Etzim Chatzichor, because I already spent a lot of time on it. So one of the most famous discussions about the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin revolves around the Mishnah on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, "It's Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, over this Rabbi Yemechot, v'yasatzi Yemechot, divibisel." So the first and foremost issue is, how is this going to play out in Dini Mamonis? He has an obligation to work for his master. On the other hand, he's also free. So can the master force him to work or not? So the answer is, I'll just make it through a simple math. If he's a chati ever chati ben chor, he has to work half the time. So how is he going to work half the time? Well, he's going to come to work for 5 minutes and leave 5 minutes. It'll be very inefficient work. So therefore, the Mishnah says he should work one day for his master, and one day he's free. One day for his master, one day is free. So that's 6 days in a week. So 3 and 3. 7. The Shabbos is free. He doesn't want any malacha. So half the week he works. Half the week he's on vacation. So dinner base level. So they said, look, that's the only way to solve the dinner moment is dilemma.
Shabbos, he has to keep Shabbos.
He has to keep Shabbos no matter. Both sides would have to keep Shabbos. Because in Eved Kenani he also has to keep Shabbos. So Bishami, Bishami says to Kantam Israpo, says Asbaloti Kantam. Bishami says that's a great solution in terms of his master, in terms of Dina Mamadas, in terms of how his salary works out. But this Eved is still left in a very serious dilemma. Why? Who's going to get married? Lisa Shivcha Iefsha. So give me a choice. Who are his options? For him to marry a Shivcha Kananis. So let's not forget, he's a half Eved Kanani. So half Eved Kanani has certain limitations who he's allowed to marry. If you're going to tell me he should marry a Shivcha Kananis, he can't do that. Shivchetzi ben Chorin. So because half of him is already free, and the halacha is that a free person is not allowed to marry a Shivcha Kananis. So every atom of him, every cell of him, I don't know how you want to describe it, but half of his body is subject to the regular dinim of being a Kedushas Yisrael, which would prohibit him to marry a Shivcha. So I have another option for him, Bas Chayrin. Let him marry a regular Jewish girl, regular free girl. That's also out of the question. Shikvachetzi Evan, because half of him is an Evan. And an Evan Kenani is not permitted to marry a regular Jewish girl. So he's in a pickle. So you have Hotel. He shouldn't get married at all. So that's out of the question. The Mishnah can't even contemplate such an existence, because he's not going to get married. So the world is created for the purpose of multiplying, of populating the world. As the Pasuk says in another Yeshayahu, the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world to be empty, he created it to be inhabited. So what do? So comes the Mishnah and says that Chazal will conserve a Tikkun HaOlam. Tikkun HaOlam in Chazal means when Chazal made certain takanos, they made certain enactments in order to make society to correct certain otherwise halachic dilemmas, otherwise issues that would happen in the world. So Chazal made certain takanos to kind of move things along in the right direction. So that's the Tikkun HaOlam. That's what the sugi is in Gittin, the whole series of 10 different takanos they take in the Olam. The first one has to do with the realm of Gittin, that's how it got stuck into Gittin in the first place. And then the entire fourth parak deals with all the other Tikkun HaOlam. That's what the sugi. Prusbul is an example of Tikkun HaOlam. This is an example of Tikkun HaOlam. You know, many, many other of these similar kinds of halachas. So comes the Mishnah and says that the Tanoim, according to Beishamai, so Beishamai says you can't just leave it the way it is, but rather be Tikkun HaOlam, Kofedus Rabbah, but also Sobechor, we force the master to free the person, make him into a regular Ben Chorin. Once he's free, then he becomes what's called an Eved Meshuchah, or a freed Eved Kenani, is halachically like a regular Ger, and then he can marry a regular Jewish girl. So we can't leave him in limbo, being a Chasti Eved Chas Ben Chorin, we force the master to free him. The only thing is that the master has to get reimbursed, not fair to the master. So Kaiser Shtar Chati Domov, then the Eved has to now write an IOU for half of his value. He's not going to pay him, he doesn't have too much money right now, but he'll give him an IOU, and then over the years, we'll make it up. And we'll pay the master off for the value that we forced him to free. The Chazal Beisil Lavis Kedav Bishami, this is one of the few examples where Beisil backed out, and Beisil said Bishami Taka were correct. That they can't leave the person in limbo. Leaving in limbo solves the nimomenist dilemma, but it doesn't solve the marriage dilemma. And therefore, now, look, we paskin like the shaman. That's in fact what the din is that when you have a chas, you have a chas v'chare, so we force the rab to free him. But why is this Mishnah important for us? Because the Lashon of Mishnah was when the Beis Shammai was trying to prove to Beis Hillel about how important it is to get married and to have children, so they ran to a Pasuk Yishayahu, Lo Sobro L'Shavas Yitzhar, which raises an obvious red flag. If you have to quote a Pasuk as to the significance of getting married, you have to run to another Yishayahu. And what's wrong with Puruhu? What's wrong with the Pasuk in Bereshit? The Abbe Yeshiva Bacha probably will know Puruhu better than he knows Lo Sobro L'Shavas Yitzhar. It means he has to know Navi Yishayahu. He has to know there is a Navi Yishayahu. So he's got a lot of things to know. So Puruhu is so simple. Puruhu is a Pasuk in Chumash. I said, it's the first bit of the Torah. I always tell the Bacher, you know, when they start kvetching about getting married, before I send them over to my wife for work. So I say, you know, the mitzvah pruvu, if the Rebbe Shalom didn't want anybody to get married, he would have wrote the mitzvah pruvu as number 387. Someone stuck in the middle of Sefer Yikra. No one would have ever known that it exists. So I said, the Rebbe Shalom wanted to be number one. He says, even those people, you know, a lot of people learn Sefer Achinuch, but they usually don't get too far in Sefer Achinuch. The first mitzvah is easy, second mitzvah is once they get to get an Asher, they get lost. Kiddush HaChodesh, they're gone. So I said, everybody gets the pruvu. So he said, it's so easy, it's the first mitzvah, it's staring in the face. So why did Chazal quote the Apostle of Sobro? Why did they quote the Apostle of Pruvu? That's the problem that Tosfos deals with. The Tosfos in the 10th of the Mar Mekomos, Tosfos in Gittin Afim Alfim and Aleph, Lo Sobro L'Shevus Yitzhar. How do Lo Nochat Krod the Pruvu Mishum the ira be yochel lekayim shevus koldu. Mishum mitzvahs pruvu lava kafirim. The halacha kafirim make it deeper. Rasha says, Taisus, the reason why the pasuk quotes shevus is not because pruvu doesn't exist. The point of the mishnah is to tell me we're about to force the master to free his eved. It's not quite a chiddush. That's really not fair to the master. The master didn't do anything wrong. So this guy's chatzi eved chatzi min chayrin. He's got a problem. Who's he going to marry? What do you want from me? So we're going to turn around. We're not just going to ask the master. We're going to take him to a din Torah. We're going to force him to free his trusted eved. So comes to us and says, it would have just been to fulfill the mitzvah for Ravu, you know, we would have fought a million times before we forced the Eved. If the Eved could have had a child in any shape or form, anything, even if it wouldn't have been the form of mitzvah for Ravu, those times, we would have said that those are not sufficient grounds to force the master. So that's the reason why the Mishnah shied away from the pasuk Peruvu. It's not Peruvu that's really, it's really forcing us to compel the Eved to free, to compel the master to free his Eved. If we could have gotten away with some kind of something, a mashu of children, well, we would have looked the other way. Or Inami, Taisa says, Hai Kra, not that I Kra Bishum, the Mucha de Mitzarabi. Or says Tosas, the reason why the Mishnah quotes so sober up is to emphasize what an important mitzvah it is. If it would have just been a regular mitzvah in the Torah, one of the 613, you have to also think a million times. Pruvu, yeah. If we would have thought, just quote a Pruvu, you would have got the impression, oh, just for a simple mitzvah, low level mitzvah like Pruvu, we're going to force the master. Not necessarily. Well, Sobra shows you it's so important that the Rebbe Shalom said the whole world was created for Allah Shevet Sitar. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't say the whole world was created for the mitzvah of hearing shofar. A shofar is an important mitzvah, we're not minimizing it, but it's not singled out. Well, Sobra Allah Shevet Sitar. So therefore, the reason why the Mishnah quotes this passage is more for a dramatic effect, just to show you how significant the mitzvah is. But the bottom line is, the reason why we're being cut for the master is because of Peruvu. There really is no mitzvah of Shevis. There's nothing new halachically about Shevis. Shevis is just a way of showing to us that it's a very important mitzvah. And Taisa says the truth is that we have precedent for this idea. In other places, Chazal quote,
what Shevis
comes from? Shevis Yitzhar means to inhabit, like to live in. The Chayyim Perek Basa the Megillah. Taisa says you have the same thing in the end of Maseches Megillah. Ma'isla gabi meicha sefer Torah l'matar v'lisa isha. The halacha is that a person is not permitted to sell a sefer Torah unless for very, very limited purposes. What's wrong with selling a sefer Torah? What's awesome? Own a sefer Torah. Why can't I sell a sefer Torah? So the machlokes haposkim. Some poskim say because if you sell a sefer Torah, that's a bizoyan. Sefer Torah is not a commodity. You just buy and sell like a used car. So that's a bizoyan to the sefer Torah. So therefore, you're only allowed to sell a sefer Torah for very, very important considerations, such as to learn Torah, for pidyon shvuyim, to redeem captives, or to get, you know, money to get married. Those are significant reasons to overcome the otherwise disgrace to the Sefer Torah to be sold. And the other Akhbarim would say no, that the reason why you're not supposed to sell a Sefer Torah is not only because it's designed Sefer Torah, but because when you sell a Sefer Torah, that don't mean you no longer fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. The Torah says Kis v'lochem v'sashir hazot. There's a mitzvah in HaTorah to write the Sefer Torah. And according to some Akhbarim, the mitzvah is not just to write the Sefer Torah, but to learn from the Sefer Torah. The mitzvah is that you should have a Sefer Torah that's available to you for the purpose of learning. That's what some Akhbarim say, that if a person writes the Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah gets stolen, gets burned, gets destroyed, you have to write another one. Because it's not like a blowing shofar. I blew the shofar and then the shofar gets destroyed. What's up with me? I was yetzir mitzvah ready. I shook the lulav and somebody steals my lulav. I'm yetzir mitzvah ready. Over here, the whole thrust of the mitzvah is not just the writing. The thrust of the mitzvah is the learning. Therefore, if something happens to the Sefer Torah, I wouldn't be yetzir. That's what the Chavarim have a chumrah, that when a person either writes a Sefer Torah or if he commissions someone to write a Sefer Torah, that he wants to give it to a shul, he shouldn't sell it to the shul. He shouldn't give it as a gift to the shul. He should still retain ownership over the Sefer Torah, because otherwise, if he gives it to the shul, and now if he comes back and asks the shul, I want to take it to learn with, the shul said, what do you mean? So it's ours, it's not yours. We're not necessarily going to give it to you. And once the person loses control of the Sefer Torah, then the question whether he's still yet to the mitzvah. That's what the first can recommend, that he should always maintain ownership over it. Remember, I had this discussion with we spoke about this, right? I had this discussion with the insurance insurance of that shul. I spoke to some lady in Tennessee or something when you donated the Sefer Torah as to who which policy to put the Sefer Torah on. So explain to some very not Jewish sounding lady down in the south about that we have a Bible, very expensive Bible scroll as part of that temple, and we want to know who should how does this play out in terms of the insurance. So she said to me, Rabbi, who owns the scroll? So I said, well, the scroll is technically still owned by the person who's donating it. They're lending it to us. They're not really giving it to us. I said, Rabbi, if it belongs to the donor, then it's under the insurance of the donor. It's not under the temple's insurance. So I said, you're mechavet the Pischa Tshuva. I said, that's the Pischa Tshuva said, that the person should hold on to ownership over it. So if you give me a moment, it's true, and in insurance purposes, you're still 100% owner. We hope you don't take it back, but you're still 100% on it. So anyway, getting back to the story. So,
can you insure something that's not yours?
Can you
insure something? Who carries the insurance on the Sefer Torah? How do you carry insurance on the
Sefer Torah? A shul
can carry it?
Yeah, because it's like if you have something in your house, if someone gives you...
You're a chroy for it.
Right. It's a jewelry business. Someone
lends
you jewelry,
you can take it. Yeah, I was just giving you the mashal. I'm not an insurance agent. I'm just telling you that.
That's crazy.
The Pischa Tshuva came up.
But what if you have a Sefer Torah that's under your control, you don't own it basically. Someone gave it to you to watch or to take care of. It's being mushaf, whatever it is, not really yours. And you give it to Eretz Yisrael. How is it in your control? You don't have. You mean you technically come back and take it back?
So the question is, do you have to then say, give it to them? So the post can say, when you give it to whoever you give it to, it surely you should always say that's still mine. I'm lending it to you. I can take it back whenever I want. You should have that ability to pull it back whenever you want. Not that you should pull it back, but you have the ability to pull it back. So comes the Gemara says Gil and says, for whatever reason you're not allowed to sell Sefer Torah, either because it's a bizarre of the Sefer Torah or because that's a bitl of the mitzvah. But the bottom line is that certain limited circumstances you're allowed to. One of them being for Tamat Torah. So the Gemara says, Amashani Tamat Torah, Dear Magal Tamat Torah V'chulei. So learning Torah is so important. It's even doch in a sense this idea of selling a Sefer Torah. And Ishanami lo sobra. And if a person has to get married, there's no way for them to get married without selling a Sefer Torah, they're permitted also. And the Gemara quotes, why is that? Because lo sobra l'sheves yitzara. Why doesn't the Gemara quote Purvu? What was wrong with the Paskin Bereshis? So Taisus says the same reason. Because lo sobra just shows us how important the mitzvah is. There are a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah. You're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Let's say the only way for me to get a lulav is to sell a Sefer Torah. So Mechatayis, you allow yourself to sell a Sefer Torah to get a lulav. But Purvu is not just a mitzvah. Purvu is really important. Purvu is the mitzvah of lo sobra. It has that dimension that HaKadosh Baruch Hu so desires that there should be the world inhabited. So therefore that permits you to sell a Sefer Torah.
Would there be an inyan that I would think that would be an inyan of the chiyuv to free him would be like freeing someone who's captive. We have Pigeon Shmuel. So we have a case, not a famous case, the guy who's stuck in Bolivia.
Oh, yeah.
So I just sort of shy of this, asked to Rav Weiss and Rav Shafta about this. So why would you have a chiyuv to free the person who's the Eved Kanani side, because the Eved Ivri side is stuck in this Metzias. He's in jail. He's encapsulated within this Metzias. Where's that Rebus? Why wouldn't that be your
Chiyuv? He's stuck. He's not suffering. It's not.
He can't be behind mitzvahs. He can't be.
He can fulfill a lot of mitzvahs.
Different type of.
No, the only mitzvah that he can do whatever he wants. He keeps Shabbos kashrus. He does a lot. He has to put on tefillin misafik mechatzi because half of him is freed already. So the only is a technicality that he can't perform the mitzvah of getting married. So that's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah pidyon shvuyim. The guy can't get married. Guy's having trouble getting a shidduch. So we don't. I mean, we try to help him, but we wouldn't put a kokur saying this is pidyon shvuyim. I mean, it's a mitzvah to help a person get married. So the question is, are we going to go and force an adon to lose his monetary rights in order that Yenim should be able to have children? So that's what they still originally thought, like Mechadai say, why should we do that? If we can ask the adon to do it, but the adon doesn't want it someday. Is that Mechuyu still?
That's a different consideration, right?
But our whole point of Bishamu is Mechadish, that this is not just not doing a mitzvah, this is a violation of the whole essence of creation, so the bottom line is that Taisa says at the beginning that this whole soul brought Shemitah Torah is being over-dramatized in a sense. That means the only reason why Chazal according to this pasuk is just to show you how important Purvu is. But is there a mitzvah of lo soul brought? A mitzvah? Lo soul brought is a nevuah. The Yishayah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megalat us. He reveals to us how important one of the mitzvahs of Torah is.
He's not mutzvah any other type of woman.
And the problem is, who's he going to marry? This Chatiyah of Chazal. It's impossible. All his options are closed. To marry Baschorin is off limits to marry a shifra. Toys has a kasha. Why can't he marry another chatzi shifra chatzi Baschorin? He says it doesn't work. Toys says because every half of him, when he's together with her, so his abdus shabbo is being mezana sense with the chayri shabbo, and his chayri shabbo is being mezana with the abdus shabbo. So Toys says it doesn't work. Can't mix two children together. Toys has a strange discussion. Toys says it's just the same. The Gemara has a shaila about like I be kilei behema. About, you know, you're not allowed to mate together a horse with a donkey. So Taisus, the Gemara's whole shout about what if you have a mule? If you have a mule, so it's a half a horse and a half donkey. Can you mate one mule with another? You're not gonna get anything from it because they don't reproduce. But still, there's an issa called the Achille the Hema just to mix them together. So the Gemara's whole discussion about in Maseches Chulin about you say that the half susbo is being roveya, the half chamor bo. So Taisus compares that mushal. Taisus shows you why it's not is the same, not the same. The whole complicated sugya, and that Taisus Maseches Gittin. Then again, back to the story.
He can solve both problems. He can free him, take him as an Ivri, and have a marriage of Achnanis.
Yeah, right, but once he's already free, he might as well marry whoever he wants.
And I'm saying,
the only problem is they never. No, so Taisus has the cash. Taisus says, why do you have to free him? Taisus says, why don't you leave him the way he is? Leave him the Chati Ever Chati Ben Chorin, and just buy the Ben Chorin part as an Ivri. And you don't have to even free him. And now you'll have him, and now both as an Eved Ivri and as an Eved Kenan, you can marry Shifcha. So Tosfos says, because the technicality, the Gemara says in Kedushin, that only an Eved Ivri who could go back to his roots becomes an Eved Ivri. A Ger can never become an Eved Ivri, and every Shifcha can never be sold as an Eved Ivri, because there is no Chuzas Avos of Yoshev. So it's a quirk of a problem.
Well, so if he owes money, the basin can't force him into.
Right, well, the person who owes money, only a person steals. Right. So you can't. Right. A gear can never become an Ever.
Wow.
Anyway, so getting back to the story, so the bottom line is that according to the first five lines of the Tosfos, there is no such mitzvah. So according to the Tosfos, she has over. That there's no mitzvah for Shabbos. It doesn't exist. The whole Shabbos was only to highlight, to over-dramatize how significant the mitzvah proven is. But now Tosfos takes a second approach. Two lines in the bottom of the Tosfos. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Mordechai Mefarish, the Nogat LaShevis Yitzara, Mishum Deshayach Av Betzad Avdos, Av Apuruvu LaShayach Al Betzad Cheirus. Says the Rivam, the reason why the Mishnah quotes Shevis is for a very real halachic reason, because Shevis is a mitzvah that would apply even to an Eved Kenani. The mitzvah Puruvu, what's an Eved Kenani have to do with Puruvu? An Eved Kenani is potter than the mitzvah Puruvu. Why exactly is an Eved Kenani potter from the mitzvah Puruvu? So, l'chora, the reason is because the rules that govern an Eved Kenani's fulfillment of mitzvahs are the same as a woman. Mitzvahs that women are chayavos in, and Eved Kenani is chayavin. So what's the status of women? Are women chayavos in Peruvu or not? That's machlekes HaTanoim. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika held, women are chayavos in Peruvu or not? It's not a mitzvah, says Shizman Kuroma. Why should women be pteros? And Chacham said no. It's a special gzeres akosav that women are pteros in Peruvu, because the Torah says Peruvu milos arts v'chivshuha ish dark lichbosh ish en dark lichbosh. That since the Torah puts together the mitzvah Peruvu and Pashas Brachos with kibosh, with conquering the land, so conquering, that's military war. So the men go out to fight wars. The women generally don't go out to fight wars, and therefore women are exempt from gzeres akosav from the mitzvah of Peruvu. If that's the case, so then we compare an Eved Kenani to a woman. How do we know to make the comparison? So the Gemara Chagiga says we have a tradition back to Har Sinai of Gzeira Shava Law the Isha. The Torah uses the word law in the context of Eved Kenani slash Yivka Kenanis, and the Torah uses the word law in the context of a woman. So that Gzeira Shava teaches us many, many conditions to do. First of all, it teaches us that the way, how do you know how to free an Eved Kenani? So you write him a get, you write him a shtar shichru. Where does that come from? So the Gemara says that's part of this Torah Shabbat. Just as you free a woman who's married by writing her a get, so you free an Eved Kenani by writing him a shtar shichru. And all the dinim that govern a get, govern a shtar shichru, just as a get has to be written for the purpose of that woman, the shtar shichru. So those are written in the Shema, all the dinim, those sugyas in the first and second paragraph of Gittin, all the details of the chos Gittin carry over the shichru Eved Kenani. Then the Gemara Chagiga says there's a second part part of the second dimension of this Kaseir Shava, not only how to free him is similar to a woman, but his very status in terms of vis-a-vis Shemiris HaMitzvah is similar to a woman. Just as a woman is tour from Tefillin, Nebuchadnezzar Kenani is part of Tefillin, just as a woman is tour from Shofar, and Nebuchadnezzar Kenani is part of Shofar, he's part of more than Mitzvah Seh Shez Man Grama. So presumably he's part of from Peruvu as well. If a woman is Tefillin, because the Gezer Sekos of Echeshua, then Nebuchadnezzar Kenani should presumably be part of as well. The Gzeres HaKosov should carry over through vis-a-vis the Gzeres Shavah. So that's the Chora, what the Rivam is driving at, that Avadim HaPotah from a Peruvu. So, but just because Avadim HaPotah from Peruvu, similar to women, but Med Vam Amurim, they're Potah from Peruvu, because of the Gzeres HaKosov of the Cheshua. But Sheves, doesn't say anything about conquering the land in Sheves, says, Lo Sober, Lo Sheves Yitzara. There's a Pasuk, the Dav Yishayah, that teaches us as a mitzvah to inhabit the world. That obligation, says the Rivam, is incumbent upon men and women equally. Women are also chayavos in the mitzvah of Sheves, and therefore, says the Rivam, by extension, avadim kenayim are also chayavim in the mitzvah of Sheves. If that's the case, says the Rivam, so now the Mishnah makes perfect sense. What does the Mishnah say? We have to free this guy, Gaval, it's terrible, we got to free him, because after all, there's a mitzvah of Sheves. What does the Gemara call Peruvu? The answer is, Peruvu is not so compelling. Peruvu, half of him is never Canadian, half of him is in bother with Peruvu. I say half Ben Chayr, alright, those are half Ben Chayr. But Sheves is a much more serious issue for this guy, because Sheves is something that speaks to both sides of his existence. He's both an Eved Chayv and Sheves, and as a Ben Chayr, he's Chayv and Sheves. So therefore, the Mishnah wanted to highlight the obligation that really speaks to this person, i.e., the Chayv of Sheves. So what the Rivam just told us is two tremendous Chiddushim. So Chiddush number one, the Rivam just told us, really, in fact, three chiddushim. Rivam told us, chiddush number one, there is a mitzvah of Sheves. It's an independent obligation. Even someone who is exempt from the mitzvah of Peruvu is somehow obligated in Sheves. So this Sheves is no longer just a detail of Peruvu. It's no longer just a potter that governs the rules of Peruvu, but rather it's a mitzvah of Freyatma. You can have an individual potter from Peruvu in Chayv and Sheves. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, that a woman is such an individual. And chiddush number three is that, by extension, an Eved Kenani is such an individual. So that's already quite a statement to him. It was only 1.5 lines of the Rivam, and he already told us three major, major chiddushim. We'll mention tomorrow, so we have to analyze these chiddushim a little bit more about what is this mitzvah of Sheva, assuming that we just found someone who says it exists. So now we have to hopefully understand a little bit more about it, and how this plays out specifically as it relates to women, because after all, ultimately this is the springboard for Avadim. The whole Shabbat of the Rivam is only true by Avadim, because it's by women. So hopefully we have to understand tomorrow mitzvah a little bit more about this mitzvah, in particular how it plays out for Rav Adam and Tanushim.